Brought to you by The Register, biting the hand that feeds IT.
Welcome to the InfoSmack Podcast
with your hosts, Greg Nierman and the notorious Mark Farley.
Hey now!
With the diva of disruptive technologies, Christina Wild.
Hear the latest on enterprise tech from the industry pundits and insiders.
Storage.
Yes!
Virtualization.
Yes!
Servers.
Yes!
And networking.
Yes!
Make sure you visit theregister.co.uk for show notes and more. The InfoSmack podcast begins transmission now.
So, hey, welcome to InfoSmack podcast number 103. And this is a special podcast from the Dell Storage Forum. And it's Christina and I. And first up, our first guest is Phil Sorn, president of Dell Capella USA. Hey, Phil, thanks for joining us.
That's what I'm talking about. Look at the round of applause I'm getting here.
So, just so everybody knows, the background noise here is we're at Raglan Road at downtown Disney. It's an Irish pub, so you're probably going to hear some background noise and some music. And
clog dancers.
And it's also the Dell Storage Forum tweet-up. So.
And occasionally I'll take a sip of Heineken beer because, as you know, we have the fluid data architecture, and Heineken is our best fluid data customer.
All right. Yeah. To Heineken.
That's what I'm talking about.
Cheers.
There we go.
So, Phil, right off the bat, obviously you've gone through a really exciting time with the acquisition. And you're going through the process of, I don't know if you want to call it assimilation or
integration.
Integration.
Yep.
So what's that integration look like right now with Dell? Is it where you guys are gelled as one solid organization, or is Compellent staying distinctly Compellent? What does that look like? What's that integration look like right now? Where is it headed?
Yeah, it's I'll tell you, we even started the integration before we closed the deal. You can plan for it, but you can't implement it. But we did a lot of planning, so it's a little bit of both, actually. You know, Compellent still is a separate organization, but it's not a separate subsidiary like that. It's our engineering team is planning with the engineers at Dell. The finance team's working closely. It's kind of a combo, if you know what I mean. But so we got one plan, but at the same time, they're allowing Compellent to invest. So we've added almost 200 people since we announced the deal. We'll add hundreds more. So it's a little bit of a combo if you think about integration there. So the nice thing, the good parts of it is that it's the things we care about, which is adding resource, focus, that kind of stuff. That's the stuff we're able to keep and Compellent.
We had a chance to meet Michael Dell earlier. One of the comments that Michael made was that your quarter-to-quarter sales on the Compellent side had doubled from the previous quarter.
And he hasn't seen faster growth.
That's he's seeing the Compellent way here. We just do things faster and quicker than anybody else, right? I think a little bit is a doubling from a year ago, and this quarter will be almost a double again from last quarter. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, really good.
What do you attribute that to? Where do you point the success for them at?
Well, I think two things. One is, we have the fluid data architecture. It's second to none. I mean, obviously I'm biased, but it really is a standout architecture. Our customers love us. They love our support, which we call Copilot. So they're very loyal and vocal about it. And then the second piece I attribute it to is Dell just has a distribution reach that's unmatched. I did a presentation at their sales training thing, and they didn't have a conference center or anything like that. They had a basketball arena for all their salespeople. Right. Now you have that basketball arena talking about Compellent across the world. So we're getting into countries we couldn't even imagine to get into. We had, two deals in Saudi Arabia. I'd never done a customer call in Saudi Arabia, right? So just their reach is really fantastic, and their reps truly have a trusted advisor relationship. So that helps us get in the door. They see our product, and game over.
And the great thing is, I look at this as somewhat unique to Compellent. And I know this, the company I work for is a Compellent partner, so we've seen this firsthand, is that Compellent customers aren't necessarily passive. They're enthusiastic customers.
Yeah. They're raving fans.
Which is a really unique thing. You've kind of built this, it's kind of almost a grassroots kind of customer following, which is really respectable. I would imagine one of the challenges you have at Dell, now that you're with a much larger organization, is to maintain that momentum now with the enthusiasm and the support from your customer base.
Well, the first thing to do that, you're exactly right. They are passionate. And by the way, I got to thank them for almost 10 years of support. We have, you know, I've done this a lot, but this is the best customer base I've ever built. And I'm really proud of them. And they're hard. I mean, they push us, but we work with them and we get better. They make us tougher, but we work together. But I would say Dell has embraced that. They did when they were looking at buying us, they did an end user survey of our customer base that we didn't know who they were calling. And this, they have these NPS scores. The numbers were so high, they didn't believe them, and they made the consulting firm go do it again.
Oh, really?
And so that was awesome.
That doesn't surprise me. The customers are the same in the field. It's like too good to be true, too good to be
true.
That's
exactly right, right. So they did it. So the good thing that happened out of that is I think they appreciate what we had. And so a lot of it's based on things like Copilot and, you know, our virtual sale, how our sales team works, how the channel works with our customers. And so the, things that they said they appreciate, I think now they know we better not lose this. And so there's a pretty fanatical focus on that, and they're now trying to integrate some of those same efforts into their other core products. So could be exciting.
So let me ask you, what we all know the positives. What's been the single biggest challenge that you didn't expect now that you've gone through this integration process? What's the big hurdle or the big challenge you see?
Yeah, the biggest challenge we had is that you just talked about the growth rate we're talking about here is you better be ready for the growth rate too when it happens. So we took a risk, and what we did is we kind of hired in advance. So things like support, we hired more support people than we needed so we could get ready for the influx. And that's the biggest challenge, frankly, is that can you handle the growth? Because if you don't, you're going to lose that passion that you built, took so long to build. So actually, our customer sat numbers are actually better than they used to be before the acquisition. So I think
Really?
We've done it right so far. Our call times are down. Everything is looking positive. But it's one that you better not sit on your laurels, because you could lose it in a week. So we keep working on it.
Let's talk about roadmap for a little bit. So,
okay.
Obviously, I think most people that follow the storage industry have kind of followed Compel. One of the nice things, by the way, that in the way that every time there's a controller upgrade with Compellent, you're not doing a total rip and replace to do that. You're doing component replacement as opposed to like some other vendors, you would have to actually tear it out and go to move up to the next level.
It's non-disruptive. They don't have to come in on a weekend. Hot swap.
Is that kind of a staple within Compellent and what the Compellent roadmap is going to look like?
Oh, absolutely. And if you saw, you know, we talked about with Darren and I on the stage today that, you know, Dell's adopted the fluid data architecture. And one of the key tenets of that is you don't have to do forklift upgrades and you have innovative software licensing. So, you know, our customers, I got customers that have had our system for 7-8 years. They're now upgrading with the latest technology without having to throw things away. They've been able to seamlessly do that. So you get the best of the latest and greatest, but you don't have to do rip and replace. So, you know, I had another customer I was at last week. He said, I've avoided two different families of upgrades with our legacy vendor because I have your product. But I have the latest and greatest. I avoided two major upgrades. That's big. That's like one-third the cost. It doesn't get any better than that.
It
right?
does. I've been looking at 10-year TCOs for customers. And they have those single licensing up front, and they don't keep paying for it every time they get a new thing.
Absolutely. So the nice thing is that fits into Dell's architecture. So the Equalogic line fits into, the Compellent line it fits into. So I think it's a real it's not a minor differentiator, it's a major differentiator. And it's good for us, but it's good for the customers, and that all plays together well.
So let me ask you one of the more challenging things. You know, there's been a lot of questions about where does Equalogic end and where does Compellent start? When you look at that mid-range modular storage arrays, how do you internally, for let's say the Dell sales team that's not maybe accustomed to Compellent, how are you painting the picture for them of where Equalogic, or the top end of Equalogic, to where that overlap is with Compellent on up?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's probably been harder on the sales force than the partners or the end user customers. It's kind of delineated itself already in the market, because we've been, you know, in the market against each other for a long time. We talked about today on the keynote that when they did their analysis, Dell did, only 10% of our customers, when they made their final decisions, whereas Echologic and Compellent in the finals. It was, you know, only 10% overlap. So the good news is if you have a gap, there's a problem there. If you have an overlap, it actually can be a positive. So, you know, if you need a real scalable system, multi-protocol, high-end, going to grow real quick, use more than 40 drives, I don't know, those kinds of things, it's pretty quickly a compelling opportunity. But, you know, ease of use, we're really easy to use. Echologic might be a little simpler to use, and customers like that. So I think the market, I've heard a lot of customers say, I don't have any problem positioning them. So I think the market's already done it.
Right, right. But one other thing, you know, a lot of your partners, clearly the compelling ecosystem of partners was smaller than the Dell ecosystem of partners. Have you had any challenges with that? As far as, because you really had kind of a very nice, I would almost call boutique style partners that were really focused on compelling. Now you're into a much larger ecosystem with a lot more partners. And I'm sure there's some challenges that come with that, but some opportunities that people have not experienced compelling in the past. How are you managing that, and what's been the feedback from your compelling partners?
Yeah. Well, first let me talk about the feedback. It's I was worried about that at the acquisition time, and it really was heartening for them. Actually, almost 90% were really, really positive. So that was good for me to hear that. There were some that were real skeptical, and they wanted us to prove it out here. But now how we handle it there is that the they just delivered another Heineken beer here, right?
So yeah.
That's good, right? It's actually, it hasn't been that hard. There's stuff with channel conflict. How do you work with a direct team? How do you work with the channel thing? But most of our partners have told me they've realized benefit after the deal. So they have an expanded product line. If they're really dedicated to us, they're getting intros to new accounts they've never seen before. If they weren't into it, they're not seeing by much. But if they're into, you know, they're very dedicated to us, they're definitely seeing it. So there's pros and cons to it, but I think overall I've gotten good feedback from the partners. And some of them, you know, are good friends, so I think I'm getting true feedback too.
Good, very good. So what's next? Where does Compellent move forward? Where's Dell Compellent move forward from here?
Well, I think it's, you know, I kind of said it today that there's been a ton of innovation in the last decade in storage. And if you look at all the innovative things, Compellent was into every one of them. There's not one thing we weren't the leader in here. That sounds a little cocky, but I think it's true here. And I think the next decade, I really think Dell bought the two best storage assets of the last decade in Echologic and Compellent. So they have a foundation now, and if we can integrate all this future roadmap we talked about today, I think it's the decade of Dell storage, and it's Dell will be the hot storage startup that everyone's going to want to come work for, buy their product, be part of their, you know, this culture we talked about. And I think Dell's kind of got the attitude that they can be a startup even though they're a $62 billion startup.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, that's great, Phil. Hey, we'll let you go and get back to the tweet.
Okay.
There's lots of people here. Appreciate
right.
you taking
hey,
a few minutes to
thanks a lot.
Join
it's
us.
Fun to hang with you guys and the tweeters.
Yes.
Yeah,
and enjoy your Heinekens.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Right. So, hey, moving along here at the Dell Storage Forum Tweet Up and InfoSmack Live, we're now joined by two of my favorite people at Compellent. First up, Brian Bell. Brian, what's your title now at Dell?
I am the Executive Director of Global Sales, Dell Compellent, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's awesome.
And we're also joined by Andy. Andy, what is your title?
I'm Head of Sales for Dell Compellent in EMEA.
In EMEA.
Oh,
very
good.
Yeah.
Glad to meet you, Andy. We're going to do the first
time. Cheers, toast.
Cheers.
Woo! Happy New Year.
Very good.
Oh, Jesus, that's
what
good.
Is that? You
God bless America.
Nothing like Jameson in an Irish pub.
I'm drinking the Bushmills. It's better.
Well, very good. Hey, guys, we just got done talking to Phil Soren and got a very good picture of how the integration is going with Dell at this point. And I think some people will be kind of surprised to hear that, because I think the perception is that the integration, you still got the Echologic part, you still got the Compellent part, and you've got the historical Dell part. So I wonder, from your perspective, what are the changes that you're seeing? You guys came through this on the Compellent side of things. What does this look like now on the Dell side of the fence for you guys?
Yeah, let me start with that, Andy. So I would say that, you know, Compellent's all been about transformation. that it was kind of David and Goliath, that, you know, that there's a huge opportunity, and we attracted team members to basically, you know, kind of solve the world, you know, one stand at a time. And with the whole Dell acquisition, we're kind of like part of this, it's a massive transformation that Dell had from this client side to this enterprise side. And it's actually, I think it's pretty exciting. I was kind of a skeptic, you know, 6 years, you know, 6 months ago about, you know, a large company buying us. It's been a great experience.
You guys have been embraced, yeah, right, by the team? Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing in the field.
Yeah. What do you think, Andy? I feel loved. Well, running sales in Europe, you know, we probably had more to gain from the acquisition than anyone else, because, you know, it was pretty tough for us. We were relatively small in Europe compared to what we were in the U.S. Dell is huge globally.
Yeah.
So suddenly, you know, the recognition of our brand, Dell's access to customers and accounts, to their channel as well, obviously, as the channel that we already had, just gives us a humongous opportunity and removes the biggest constraints that we had.
Yeah, you know? The two constraints were, I want to do business with you, Compellum, but A, are you big enough?
Yeah.
And number two is, are you going to be acquired? Number one handled, number two handled.
It's all taken care of, baby.
Let's go sell a lot of sands.
And so let me be candid, though. I mean, the Compellum team was a very tight team. You guys knew how to execute. Now that you're part of the Dell team, and you probably got some people on support, sales, and other elements within Dell that are not maybe as familiar and tight with that Compellum family. Yeah. How do you, it's a natural hurdle, no matter who acquires you. Mm. How do you overcome, how do you shorten or shrink any potential barriers you might have with that kind of integration?
So I'll start, you can jump in, Andy. So yeah, it's a big transformation. You think about Dell really had Echologic, you know, kind of best in breed, best in class, you know, storage acquisition. But then they were a reseller with EMC. And it worked pretty well, but I can tell you, it's almost like the handcuffs have come off with Compellum. Is they feel like, man, there's a huge opportunity, and they're just energized right now.
Yeah.
So we spend time both selling and delling.
Delling?
Yeah.
What's Delling?
Yeah, yeah,
tell me
what
Delling is.
Yeah, talk about Delling, Andy.
Andy, what's Delling?
Well, Delling is, you know, when the acquisition first happened, of course I needed my team to keep selling, but we had to start doing another activity, which we call Delling, which is getting engaged with the Dell field. Because those people, they have a tough job, you know. They know their accounts really, really well, but they got to sell servers and laptops. I don't know if they sell tissues. They probably sell all sorts of things, but they got to sell storage too. Now what we bring is a storage specialist sales force into that equation, and a big part of our responsibility as we grow that is to help the Dell field understand the value, the business value that our technology brings to their customers. So you can look kind of like they're another channel for us to sell to. It turns out we've been selling through channel all of our lives, so we know a lot about how to educate and enthuse and excite a sales force to understand how to put across our value proposition to the extent to excite interest. And then we come steaming in behind and help people understand the detail of what we do.
But I have to admit, the Dell sales team has a strong relationship with their customer.
Very. Yeah.
So we don't want to, like, we're not trying to fight for account control.
Uh-uh.
We're like SEAL Team 6. You know, we're like, come in, help us, come in, come out, let the Dell AE own that relationship. Because Dell is organized by customer. Unlike HP and IBM, Dell's really organized by, I, as an AE, understand you as a customer. And I'm a single person to represent all of Dell to you as a customer. And now they're going to bring in certain expertise underneath them to help them with particular parts of the enterprise strategy.
And despite this mild exterior, we are those experts.
I mean, Andy Hardy, look at him with his Hawaiian shirt on. Does he not look like SEAL Team 6 right here?
Andy, are you on Twitter?
Yeah.
What's your Twitter handle? Tell me.
I can't remember. Andy@hardy.com, I think it is. There you go.
He's all over Facebook, though.
I'm big on Facebook.
I've got a new Facebook friend.
And Brian,
I'm a F-16 samurai.
And you're an F-16 samurai because you were an F-16 pilot, right?
Yeah, I used to fly jets in the Air Force before selling storage.
Yeah. I fly a Piper Cherokee. It's just not as impressive.
You know what? But selling, like, flying jets, F-16s, I mean, I mean, now I'm selling Sands. I mean, woo! Jets versus Sands.
It's kind of the same.
It's so much different.
It's, look, you know, there's not a lot in it.
Like, but no, but seriously, to that point, what part of your military background have you brought to your experience at Compellent and now Dell? What? How has it helped you?
Command and control. No.
No, it's It's we run our sales team a lot like a fighter squad in the U.S. Air Force. It's all about first of all, it's all about getting the best talent, and basically getting the best talent, and then and measuring them, holding them accountable, but also just the esprit de corps that, you know, we are working together as a team. I hold you to a high, you know, a very, very high mark for each of my guys and for me. But we also celebrate our victories and we act as a team. And, you know, it's very transparent. Here's the goal. If you don't make it, you're out. If you do make it, you're part of the team. And so we each hold ourselves very highly accountable to being successful as an organization. And we celebrate our success. And that's, I think that started 8 years ago. And we're taking this into SEAL Team 6, you know, into Dell.
And you celebrate it with the customer base, yeah, because they're just as enthusiastic.
Yeah. So you want the partners?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The partners in our channel, we were 100% channel. Of course we're not now, but the channel opportunity is bigger now than it was when we were an independent company.
Yeah.
But we want to build a community with our customers and our partners. And like tonight we have our engineers and our co-pilots. Our co-pilots is a support organization.
We're gonna get some of those guys on.
Yeah, awesome. Those guys rock.
Yeah.
So that's how we do it.
So what do you attribute the success to, the enthusiasm of your end users? Because it is kind of a small community.
I think it's a couple of things. So you're asking why are our end users so enthusiastic about us? Well, I think number one,
Andy Hardy's looks.
No, that ain't it. I think number one, the product does what we say it does. And we lay out some pretty bold claims about the functionality and the business value of our product. And you know, when people first hear it, they're a little bit like, well, if half of that's true, that'd be great. Turns out it's really true. So people like that. But the more important thing is our co-pilot support operation. People adore that. We have just a way of being far more proactive than our competitors, I think, can be in support. We give an immediate response, which means that when you call in and you got a problem, you speak to a real live human being engineer, not some person in a call center in some other part of the world.
And they speak to other things, applications, Oracle, VMware.
So honestly, we don't care if it's our fault or some other part of the stack, or you know, if it's just a question about how to do something or whatever. And the reason we can do that is we got some instrumentation built into the product, which makes it feasible for those people to be able to respond in that way. We thought about this a long way back. And I think that more than anything drives the enthusiasm in our customer base.
And also, I think our team's passion on how we, everything, I don't care if you're a salesperson, a co-pilot, an engineer, in marketing, in operations, we're all about sense of urgency, ownership, being positive, aggressive, and that's really helped us in the marketplace.
We act like firemen.
Firefighters.
Firefighters.
PC, politically correct here. Come on.
Oh, fire girl. Can I be fire girl?
Yeah.
I want to be fire girl.
That's great. Yeah. Hey, you know what? So yeah, obviously everybody can hear in the background. There's a party going on here.
Yeah.
It's a Dell Storage Forum tweet up. So we're gonna let Andy and Brian get back to it and enjoy the
festivities.
Can
we sing a song first?
Oh, you want to sing us a song?
No, I don't want to sing a song.
No.
But I do. First of all, this is just a great opportunity. We you know, it's great to build a community around IT, around storage. We have a lot of people around the world. That it's a small network,
yeah.
And this is great to have the InfoSmack and things like that to really help kind of get us together and keep us connected as an organization, as kind of a community. So my hat's off to you and InfoSmack for doing this and being part of our Dell Storage Forum. Thank you very much.
No, thank you,
Brian. Yeah.
Brian, you and I have known each other for a few years here. On a personal level, congratulations.
You really did see the fruits of the labor of
your investment of time and everything you put into this.
Well, thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. Cheers.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for having us. Right.
Skull!
Back to it, guys.
All right.
A All right, well, moving along here, we've got a very special guest, Michael Dell. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. This is really great to be able to stop by for the tune-up.
Sure thing. Glad to be with you.
It's a great surprise. We, like, ran into him over at the conference, and now here you are. I didn't expect you to come. It's great. Thanks for making time.
So, Michael, obviously the Dell Storage Forum has really grown in size. It's pretty incredible. You've got the Equalogic team,
right,
the Compella team, and now the core Dell team, all part of this. What are some of the expectations you have for a forum like this, and what are some of the things that you hope that your customers walk away from this forum with?
Well, you're right. We combined the best of the Compella C Drive event, which is a great event, and our Equalogic customers. What we find in these events is that it's really a great opportunity for us to go a couple of levels deep into the technology to understand how customers are using our solutions, how we can evolve them to better meet their needs. We're investing enormously in storage, and so there's a lot going on. We want to make sure customers know about that, and that we take their best ideas and inputs and build the best solutions, you know, that we can.
We talked earlier, and you made a couple of comments to me about how impressed you were with the Compella growth since you brought them on board. What kind of expectations do you have? I know you have to be careful. You're a publicly traded company, but what kind of expectations have you laid out for your team internally as far as where do you want to see this go, and what's the big picture look like maybe a year from now, a year and a half from now, 2 years from now?
Well, first I have to say, you know, thanks to our partners, because we've had a lot of success with our partners with Equalogic. You know, that business is now, we started with about 3,000 customers. We have over 30,000 Equalogic customers around the world now. And what we're seeing with Compella is an even faster ramp and acceleration of the business. So we think it's an enormous opportunity for our partners. Certainly the whole fluid data concept, data tiering, is incredibly attractive and addresses a huge need that customers have out there. We're going to be integrating, you know, much more tightly with Dell servers, and the whole server storage networking capability coming together from Dell, you know, gives us a great opportunity to really grow the infrastructure side of our business.
Now, we've had kind of a running joke on the podcast because, you know, Mark Farley is one of the co-hosts on the podcast here. And we've always speculated that at some point Mark would be coming to work for Dell again. Do you want to give us a you project Mark Farley eventually working for Dell at some point in the future?
I'm just going to pass on that. No comment.
Good answer. Michael, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for just spending a few minutes with us here.
Sure
this
thing.
Is great. Thank you very much.
Happy to do it.
Thanks. It's awesome.
So rolling along here, keeping it going with the Dell Storage Forum tweet up at Raglan Road. We got two more guests. I'll let them introduce themselves because I'll screw up their names and titles. Travis, why don't you go first?
I'm Travis Vihill. I'm the Executive Director for Product Management for Equalogic at Dell.
Pete Corris, I'm the general manager of Equalogic.
Very good. Well, so Travis and Pete, so for a while here, you had kind of a comfort zone of Equalogic and Dell. The integration went amazingly well, really exceeded everybody's expectations. Everybody thought, well, the channel would get screwed up, and all kinds of bad things were going to happen once Equalogic was acquired by Dell. Turned out it was the exact opposite. I don't know. At least the outside looking in, I don't know if it could have gotten any better than it did. And you guys have really executed very well. And obviously, this is absolutely phenomenal and amazing growth. Michael talked a little bit about the growth of Equalogic from 3,000 customers to over 30,000 customers. Absolutely amazing. What's it like now that you've got a kid brother in the house with you now in Compella? What's that look like, and what's the challenge for you guys now?
Well, first of all, we look at Compella as family, so they are our brother, right?
Right, right.
And when we went out and decided to acquire Compella, we looked at attributes of their solution, and they fit very closely with our attributes, right? We talked about fluid data. If you remember, Equalogic was built on tiering, scale out, right? And Compella has a lot of those same features, only they implement them differently. Their tiering versus our Equalogic peer scaling meets a lot of the same criteria that our customers are looking for.
Right. Travis?
Yeah, I think it's really good for Dell Storage overall to have more solutions to offer to meet more customer needs. So it's going really well.
Now, one of the things you guys just announced, it's a unified storage device, appliance. What do you call it? What is it, an appliance?
The product is called the FS7500, and it provides unified storage for Ecologic. So basically, it's the device that provides the NAS capabilities for an Ecologic environment.
And so, I've seen the term mixed in, scale out, and other things. But as I look at this, and you look at that Ecologic base of customers, kind of that mid-range kind of customers, this looks like a viable competitor to NetApp. Is that fair, or is that an overstatement?
Well, we're wondering if they're going to be a viable competitor to us.
Wow!
There you go.
Well, they're already in the market, so
sure,
you're coming
sure
into that market.
Kidding, of course. Obviously, NetApp has a good market presence, but when we went looking for a file system and chose the XNet file system, we looked for certain features. A couple of them were the clustering capability,
right,
and the ability to peer scale, much like the Ecologic product. And the XNet technology brought us that, so now we have that to offer in our Dell scalable file system.
The peer scale is really important in valid with fluid data. I mean, that's the same messaging.
That's correct.
Absolutely. And I think, if you look at the success we've had with Ecologic, it's been being very focused on block protocols, primarily for virtualized environments. What we're seeing with a lot of our customers, that in addition to that need in their environment, they're seeing a big growth of unstructured data. So it's really to provide a solution for those customers who need to address that growth in unstructured data more than anything.
So let me ask you, because I look at a competitive landscape, when I see announcements like this, who do you view as your competitor? Is it NetApp? Is it all of them? Who are you going after with this product?
I wouldn't say we're going after any specific competitor. What we're really doing is we're trying to offer a complete portfolio. And if you heard today about our fluid data model and the fact that we want to run the file system across all of our products, we want to put it in dedupe with our Ocarina technology over time. So really it's about filling out our portfolio, and we believe if we do that, there is no competitor, one specific competitor we would go after.
You bring up a great point there, Ocarina. Where does Ocarina fit in the big picture of Dell Ecologic?
Well, it fits into the Dell storage portfolio overall. So in very much the same way, we're offering the XNet technology via the Dell Scalable File System on PowerVault, on Ecologic. We've hinted that we're offering it on Compellent in the future. You can expect us to see a similar pattern with the Ocarina dedupe technology. And both of those technologies together are really the underpinnings of the fluid data architecture.
So you've come out with the NAS product, or is that, I think of it as a NAS product,
sure,
because it's unified storage, really.
Right.
But where's the roadmap go? What can you share with us as far as where are you guys looking next? I'm not asking you guys to share trade secrets, but kind of if you're an end user, are you kind of looking at roadmap and for Ecologic specifically? What kind of things should we be expecting in general terms?
Well, I mean, I think we just talked about one of them. Dedupe, obviously, is an area that we're focusing on via the Ocarina acquisition. And then after that, you just have to look at your typical Ecologic customer, get a pretty good idea of where we're focused. They tend to be very fast-growing in their data needs. They tend to be highly virtualized. We've had heavy integration with virtualization providers, a lot of automation. So we expect to continue to see more of that from us.
So, Ocarina's had a reputation as a great compression engine before it was acquired by Dell. Now that it's been acquired by Dell, what are some of the target markets that you look that are good fits for Ocarina?
Obviously, one of the best target markets is as a backup. Not so much a market, but a capability, right? If you can take the data and shrink it. With Compellent, we have the tiering. And then if you think about being able to dedupe that technology, to dedupe your data and then moving it off, again, you're creating yet another tier as we talk about Compellent. I think we see know, exchange is a good area, right? Where you continue to get the your mail, for example. You get the exact, how many times do you get the same PowerPoint file, right?
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if you only saved one of those rather than 10 of them, right? And with the Ocarina technology, we not only do the compression, but we also do the dedupe down at the, you know, down at the smaller level.
And therefore, it works on video too. It works on video.
And the big thing is that, and Darren talked about this earlier today, we take the metadata with the data. And by doing that, that means we can move it and we're able to not have to rehydrate it and then move it back again. So it helps us with things like WAN optimization and spatialization, both of those.
Well, the lack of having to do the rehydration has got to be great for performance.
And recovery time.
You're not burdened by that overhead.
Exactly.
Well, and replication as well. I mean, you know, once you have less data, you're moving less data around everywhere.
So is Carter George still working with you guys? What's his role now?
Carter is our strategist working in the storage group. And of course, Carter was one of the people that came over in the Ocarina acquisition. So he's got a lot of ideas around file system. He also has spent time at file system.
Carter's a great guy. I have a lot of respect for Carter. He's a lifer in this industry. He's worked for a few companies.
You know, being in the development side, Carter can come up with more ideas than we can implement. So
not always a good thing, I guess. He keeps you busy.
Which we appreciate, because for every 10 that we don't do, there's that one nugget that gets us a little bit further up the food chain. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Hey, we'll wrap it up on that note. Thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate it. Toast.
Cheers.
Thank you. Have a good conference.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
So moving along here, at the Dell Storage Forum tweet up, we're now joined by Gene Chester. Hey, Gene, thanks for joining us.
Hey there. How are you tonight?
Very good. So, Gene, tell us what your title is and your role with Dell is.
I'm a storage strategist. I work in the PG product development, where we actually create storage products.
So you're actually doing the hard work.
We do all of it. We do the engineering, the whole thing. And occasionally we play in marketing to make sure somebody says the right thing.
Oh, that's probably hard to keep them in line.
A little bit about object storage, because here's the thing, I think there's a lot of confusion in the market,
right,
from a consumer point of view, because object storage as a term, I think, tends to be more of an inside baseball term in the storage industry. From an end user perspective, what does object storage mean?
For all practical purposes, an object storage is a web server. You can think of it like being a picture, a download, a Google search, anything you want. It's a object that we store that is HTTP based. So you do an HTTP put, an HTTP get. If I get something, I get a picture back. If I put something, I write a picture to the cloud for all practical purposes. So it's a complete integrated storage platform. But it's designed for archive. It's designed for long-term storage. It's something that you can add 10 nodes a month for 70 years and have a 7,000 node storage cluster, and it'll still all work 50, 60, 70 years from now. So
it's application agnostic too. So applications can kind of come and go in that time.
Absolutely.
Period.
It's operating, so there may not be Solaris in 10 years from now, but there will be HTTP. Web-based data will be there. So it's long-lasting data that will be there for literally forever. And
so, as I mentioned, we're also joined by Ed Seipet, a friend of the podcast.
That's right.
Hey, Ed.
Thanks for joining us, Ed.
Absolutely.
So, Ed, what's your take on object storage, and what role does it play in the industry?
So it's been one of those things that I think was really created initially for archive on the enterprise side, but then when you get into, you know, a lot of the new web application development, it's something that a lot of people started adopting because Amazon, that was the only way they could offer storage initially. They didn't offer block storage. So this is the way that people have learned as startups to start storing objects. And it's actually pretty cost effective and efficient. You can do a little bit more or a lot more than you can with, you know, your typical enterprise block storage.
Yeah, and I saw a TCO slide today that showed that it was actually more cost effective than tape.
which is scary.
Yes, it is. Well, you don't have to back up anymore if you have an archive.
That's
true. Literally don't. Because if you do the traditional archive, father, grandfather, son, you have 5 to 7 copies of the data out there. If you use an archive storage and you keep at least 2 copies, your data is safe.
And
if you keep at least 3 copies, your data is like impossible to ever lose any data. So you get to stop doing backups. It's a paradigm shift in the way we do
this
storage.
This is really disruptive. I mean, so we're trying to cannibalize your own market here.
So Gene, I'm probably going to screw this up, but is object storage a safe bet for inactive data? Is that a good way to segment out active and inactive data?
A lot of people think of it as a third tier of storage, so data that's write once, read many times, and so forth. But in certain areas like medical, they found out that it can be tier one storage. So if you've got big medical images and things, and it reads from an object store, it can be every bit as fast as pulling from a file system. So it's a true object storage, and it has special use cases. So it always works for compliance and legal, because you can write archive. It's excellent for the medical field. But there's a lot of things. We recently talked to the National Supercomputing Center, and we're talking to them about how do they do backups, and they want to get their backups on the disk and off of tape. And this is the type of platform that can enable that type of change.
So long term, do you think this is something that eventually people will continue to store files and data as objects? And do you think it's going to be disruptive to the traditional enterprise block storage kind of environment?
Block storage has its place, and so does file storage for what it does, but this has a definite place. There's so much data. One of the big wins for our software through our company was through like Vodafone, because they figured out, well, all their data starts out as HTTP, and then they wind up storing it on files, and then they store it on blocks, and then they move it around, and then they get it back as HTTP at the end. So why not go to a native HTTP storage initially and just cut out every time you move data between a different type of platform, you have the opportunity to corrupt data or to lose data.
So does this speed time to market in terms of launching new applications and getting things done in the business?
It's all about capturing the information. Dell has a long-range, used to be called Unified Information Fabric. We now call it the Fluid Data Architecture. It's all about tiering data to where it needs to be on the right type of storage, about compressing or deduping data at the right type of place, about search and index. So object storage is part of that whole intelligent data management world, because it determines how do you capture data, how do you keep data for a long time. And eventually the goal is to take data that's a cost today and turn it into an asset, where it's e-discovery, enterprise content management, where your data serves you instead of costs you. That's the transformational piece of it.
That's fair.
Yep.
Well, Gene, this has been really great. I appreciate you taking a few minutes with us. We'll let you get back to the party, have a few more drinks.
Yep, we have to go talk to customers now and then, because they buy things. That's a good thing to do.
That's great. Thanks, Gene.
All right, thank you.
So, hey, we're in the home stretch here of the InfoSmack podcast number 103, live from the Dell Storage Forum. And as we wrap this up, there's a special person I want to thank for all the hard work she did to help us with this up, Gina Rosenthal. Thank you, Gina.
She's a maniac. Absolute maniac.
Gina, thank you very much, obviously. I've already told Gina that I'm not only am I going to get a tattoo of her name on my body somewhere, my next baby is going to be named Gina.
Nice.
So thanks, Gina.
You're so welcome.
So, we've had a couple of days already here at the Dell Storage Forum. What has been a highlight for you? What has been the big takeaway from this event?
So I've been doing a lot of the work behind the scenes. So the takeaways for me are just the amount of interest in having community at Dell around our customers and our partners and our internal folks. Probably the biggest highlight for me, aside from tonight with Michael Dell being here, and just talking to everybody.
Who?
Michael Dell.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And she kept it from us. This is a big surprise. We had no idea he was actually going to be on. That's very cool.
That was awesome.
Exciting.
But the other thing that happened is our executives today during the keynotes, we had some tweets that we asked for people to give us questions during the keynotes on Twitter. And we queued them up, and the executives just kind of rolled with it, like, okay, it's another question. They weren't, like, freaked out because it was Twitter. They just kind of answered it, right, which was kind of cool.
They really, I will say, I've noticed of any of the conferences I've been at in the past, there's been more embrace of social media and Twitter and the whole experience, social media experience with the bloggers lounge. And a lot of conferences have blogger lounges, but you guys actually integrated Twitter into keynote speeches. I've never seen that before.
Well, and that's the biggest thing that happened today was we had the executives that came off the stage and showing me, and I missed the keynote because I was doing some other things. They were answering tweets on stage live. And our VP of storage was doing this. And it's just like crazy to me that that happened. And Dell is the most social company in the world. I mean, people recognize that all the time. And that was a big draw to me to come to Dell, was I want to do social media. I want to be technical. And it's obvious, like, it's from the very top, all through my organization's executive team, all through everybody in my organization, everybody,
partners, customers,
partners, yeah, even out the
right,
our whole ecosystem is all about community. So that was a big draw to come to Dell, and I'm so happy to be part of it and to be able
very
to make
good.
It better.
Well, that's great, Gina. I think you've done a great job.
Thank you.
So, Ed, let me ask you. You're kind of a passive observer to all this. You work with Joyent. What are you taking away from this conference?
So the biggest thing is also, for me, just been getting another perspective where, you know, traditionally I was at EMC for a while and I was an EMC partner. And one of the things that really surprised me was just the fact that a lot of, like Gina was saying, the executives tend to be involved. It really tends to be something from the top down as opposed to, you know, a fish trying to swim upstream and get things done. So from that perspective, I've been really impressed by what Dell has done. Obviously, again, to back up what Greg said, you know, without people like Gina, it's just not going to happen. And there's a lot of driven people inside of Dell that are fighting to make this happen. And so it's been a great experience for me. And from a storage perspective, it's been enlightening. I'd like to see more than just one perspective. And honestly, you know, traditionally, I typically look at EMC stuff. That's just because that's where I've lived. And it's nice to see another company being pretty innovative, not only around product, but also around the people and how they do their things.
All right, Eddie, enough of that. Christina, you and I are finally wrapping up. We're on the home stretch here of the podcast this week. How bad has this week been for you?
Oh, it has been so exciting. I'm new to the Dell community. We've been partners for a long time in my previous role, but now I'm new to the partner community, and we have a tremendous opportunity in front of us, so I'm really excited. I've been attending a lot of the technical sessions, learning a lot. I'm ready to bring it all back. It couldn't be any better.
So let me be clear here. Christina did not have to wheel me around or cart me around. I took it pretty easy on you.
I carried your bags. I was trying to help out.
You
even
did
with
carry
my
my
heels.
Bags.
Yes.
Yes. And there's five inch stilettos you're wearing.
Thank you. I got a lot of compliments on
the air boot is actually kind of, it's a nice look for you.
The boot.
Well, the boot is a nice look.
Nice.
Boot.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, guess what? On that note, we're going to wrap it up this week. Hey, thanks guys very much for a great week and a great podcast. Thank you very
thanks
much.
Thanks for being here so much.
You've been listening to the InfoSmack podcast.
Join us for a new episode every Tuesday at theregister.co.uk, where you can also leave comments for the show.
Yeah.